Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Greetings once again. We are continuing with our discussion for Exodus chapter 2. We noticed in the previous discussion that Moses' mother, believe you me, I believe his father was also there. Today we have many children nursed by mothers without fathers, for we are told Amram is still alive. So as the report went home, let me picture it. As the report went home, the princess of Egypt has said we should raise this child for her. I almost believe that father knew what it meant to rear a child for courts of Egypt, idolatrous courts. And he determined together with the mother to bring about a child that is going to withstand the temptations of idolatry in Egypt. The religion of Moses and the religion of Pharaoh's daughter were two distinct religions. And here is a young child nursed to get into corrupt streets, corrupt religious systems, and they expect him to shine there with the purity of heaven. Do we still have parents who look at their young children and say, I want to polish this child, that as he gets into the corrupt streets of such and such a city, this child will proclaim the praises of a God who called him out of darkness into his marvel. Parenting is a divine mandate. You might be having a good office, you're working at a good company. That's okay, your organization is highly paying. But blessed are those who are going to recognize that being given a child, this is why the Bible says children are a gift from God. But it makes it clear that houses and fields, money and wealth can be gotten from people, from parents. But children come to you as a gift from God. You are given that child. It is not yours. It is God's child in your hands. Nurse him for God. So, I believe father and mother united in polishing the systems, everything for Moses, so that Moses, as he gets out of their hand, will be a man worth the name, will be an Israelite indeed, even in the Egyptian courts. So, the Bible tells us that Moses has gone to Egypt. He has been nursed there. He is raised there, learning everything that Egypt could teach. The superpower of then Moses. And we have today many a boy and a girl who has little information about the world they live in. How are we to regard the words Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians? Or that today we will get a pure education, a 360-degree education for our young men and young women, for we need. So many people who are opposed to themselves and opposed to religion, opposed to their parents, opposed to the social strata of our world, are those whose education is one-sided. Now, the Bible then tells us, Moses goes out to see the burden of his brothers. When he gets there, he recognizes an Egyptian who was beating an Israelite, and he intervenes by killing the Egyptian, period, burying him, thinking that no one sees him, an affinity to his family. Then tomorrow he sees Israelites fighting, and he is surprised. You are one people. We live in a world where one family is fighting. a single family is divided. One people are fighting themselves. And then Moses is surprised. We didn't expect. This is the first recorded fight in the Bible between two people of the same faith. At least a fight. Moses is saying, how is it that you guys, being brothers, are fighting? We live in a world where brothers are fighting. Some are religious brothers fighting their other brothers, leaving that aside. Then Moses is told, who has made you a judge over us? Have you come here? So to progress with the story, the Bible tells us Moses knows that is known, and the Pharaoh hears what happened yesterday, and the Pharaoh decides to do something to Moses, and Moses knows what to do. He flees. Moses has fled, and he goes to Midian. An interesting story about rearing children emerges up again. He sits by a well, and here comes the daughters of one man, seven of them. They are coming to water, to draw water for their flocks. We live in a world where the girl child strongly believe that her beauty answers everything. How much the world has overrated beauty at the expense of usefulness. So many a useless lady roams around the street trusting in her beauty today. Here are seven girls that are going out to check or to water for their what? For their flocks. Here is a parent, Moses' future father-in-law. Here is a parent who knows how to rear children for usefulness. I strongly believe there is no text that tells us about their appearance, but the text tells us about their diligence. We live in a world with less diligent women than ever in the history. So much has been put in the media about beauty, so much that everyone tries to be beautiful. A person who cannot do anything on earth counts on their beauty as the supreme gift they have been given by God. God will need useful ladies in a world of uselessness. In a world where everyone spends their time in the mirror or in the saloon, God wants people that can still water for their flocks. This is a statement to modern ladies that live unmarried wheresoever you are. Do something. Beauty is not everything. Someone will say this is not in the text. The text simply tells us that they were coming to water the trough for their father's flock. The family did not prefer to hire somebody, to hire a cowboy. No, they thought these girls can do also this work. It is not to degrade the woman to give them useful labor at home. Even that labor that is almost normally known for men, some of it can be done by ladies. Let no lady believe that she is beautiful and it's enough. So the Bible then tells us that Moses helps them against the shepherds that were trying to stop them from watering. He waters for them their flock, and they get caught. And the father is surprised. How is it that you came this early? They say, an Egyptian. You will notice that when Pharaoh's daughter saw Moses, she said, a Hebrew. And when these ones see Moses, they say, an Egyptian. I just want us to know that in a world that things are, Africa was divorced from what was taking place, Moses appeared to them as an Egyptian. And they say an Egyptian helped us. And then ancient hospitality springs in. It did not become hospitality when it was Israel only. Even the Midianites, you will read it. Everywhere we see people of many races showing hospitality. So as we conclude the book, we conclude by reminding each other that God expected and taught almost all the world hospitality in the previous day. Oh, how much of it has died in the 21st century. So many of us live for self and die for self. The world, the ancient world has had people who did not believe everything as we might know today. People from many races, tribes, and languages who showed hospitality. Today, one of the things that the world is unable to show is hospitality to the stranger. Here was a stranger that has helped and was left out. And the father said, how is it that you let him out? He should have come in and gotten bread. We live in a world where strangers are ill-treated almost on every angle. Being a stranger is being a suspect. But here comes the Bible with the message of the first generations that lived in our planet that treated strangers as people with the bread. Bring the man back so that he may get bread. I do not know how in your family you treat the poor and the stranger. But as we read through the chapters, we are noticing that the stranger is taken care of. How many strangers will you, a Christian, die having taken care of in this world? So many live in this world as Christians who have never helped anyone except returning tithes and offerings to their church. They have never. How many strangers have you helped? How many people have you gone out to bring in? The world today is languishing in misery, not because there are no resources, but because there are no hearts that are open to help suffering humanity. If every one of us were to learn to open their hearts to strangers, our world would be a different world altogether. We live in a world where strangers are all suspects, but this is not always the case. Many of these people are running away from problems. He is running away from Pharaoh somewhere, and the doors are opened by the priest of Midian. I wish everyone who is a priest in their own house will recognize that the plight of humanity sometimes need men and women who will stand up and defend the stranger. In a world that is in jeopardy today, strangers across all the world, in every continent, in every country, there are people that are running away from other things that we cannot have power over. But can't we open our hearts, open our hands, and be helpful to suffering humanity in our day and our age? Or that we will shine forth in a generation of negligence as men and women who can open their hearts, who can open their homes, who can open their pockets, who can open their wallets for strangers. May God bless us. The needs of the gospel have never changed. They were so in the first generations when men started walking this planet. They will be so in the very last. That's why the Bible says, do not forget to entertain strangers. For others, unawares, entertained angels, and their names were immortalized thereby. Do you want an immortal name? Don't forget that in the comfort of your home, there is somebody somewhere who is suffering, whom you, just by opening your heart, can deliver from great trouble and thereby immortalize your name. There is temporal Christianity, Christianity only for walking in this planet for 70 or 80 years, then you die and it dies with you. Immortalized Christianity is written this way, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father. is to visit the sick, the stranger, the bereaved. This is what the Bible calls pure religion. We live with the Christians that can erect magnificent buildings for worship with the suffering humanity unattended to today. What are you doing for strangers? The last statement Jesus will say about judgment, he says, when I shall say to the goats, depart from me, they will ask, when did we see you? Then I will respond, inasmuch as you did not do it unto the least of these, you did not do it unto me. You will never meet Christ begging in the streets of Lusaka. But in the streets of Lusaka, Christ in the person of the suffering humanity is walking there. Would you open your heart and be a positive help in a negative world? This is my prayer.
You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.